I'd like to give everyone a warm welcome as we meet and gather to worship our Creator, the Almighty God, our Father, our Saviour. Shall we just commit our time to God in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we ask that as we come to worship you, as we come to praise you, that you would help us to concentrate, that you'd help us to have our focus upon you, to listen to what you have to say to us. We ask this, that we will be able to bring you the honour and the glory. Amen. Just one announcement is that we have refreshments later. So refreshments which are in the hall at the back behind me, and everyone is welcome to join us after the service. Now, John, today we are carrying on in our series in Peter, and the title for today is Living Stones. Living stones. And some of you may be thinking through your mind about stones. Stones were very important in the Old Testament, formed the temple, a major part. And in the New Testament, the temple came down, but we, as individual believers, having the Holy Spirit living in us, are living stones. And I say that because our first hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And as we go through that hymn, you will find these links to temple imagery as the Holy Spirit is living with us. So Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down. Fix in us your humble dwelling, all your faithful mercies crown. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Thank you.
If you can turn with me in your Bibles or follow on your apps or on the screen behind me, we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, which is on page 1014 in the Chapel Bibles. And then Ephesians chapter 2 after that. So two readings, 1 Peter 2 and then Ephesians chapter 2. So verses 1 to 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You, yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honour is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You turn with me to the second chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, on page 976 in the Chapel Bibles, and we're going to read verses 19 to 22, which is page 977. So verses 19 to 22. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And we look forward to, John, you bringing those passages to us. But we're going to sing our next song. And afterwards, Peter Turner is going to come up and talk to us Good News for Everyone. Good News for Everyone. And give us an update on that. But first we're going to sing, "All I Once Held Dear, Held My Life Upon." That's it. Let's stand and sing with the words, the music.
Thank you. good evening. Thank you for the invitation to speak a few words about the work of Good News for Everyone, formerly the Gideons. I can explain that to anyone afterwards, the reason for the change. But first of all, the objectives, what do we do? I don't know whether you can see that up there, it's a bit small print, but basically we like to present Bibles, New Testaments and full Bibles to different places. We lead assemblies in schools where we can. We share the Word of God personally when we come across people if we can. We have little Bibles that we keep for that purpose. We pray together in our group to encourage each other. And we provide scriptures mainly in this country, but we also do join with others working abroad occasionally on what we call blitzes. We go to different countries and have a concerted effort to put Bibles in prisons and all sorts of other places. To be members, we have to be a Bible-believing Christian. You can see the different things there that we have to adhere to. I think everyone here would be able to, every member here would be able to agree with those requirements. One that just struck me, I think, is to believe that unrepentant sinners will be condemned to eternal punishment. It's very sobering, isn't it? And it really should drive us all in, I think, in our Christian lives, how we want to witness to others about the gospel, the good news. Our organisation, we have a national office in Lutterworth, which is fully funded by us members through our subscriptions. All the donations that we get go entirely on spending for Bibles and magazines. We have about 250 branches around the country, and Tunbridge Wells branch is within what's called Region 6, so that covers South London, Kent, Sussex, Surrey. And that map there shows the Tunbridge Wells area from just north Tunbridge, the north down to Mayfield, Edenbridge on the left, and to Paddock Wood on the right. And then you get the Seven Oaks branch above and Eastbourne below and so on. And in Tunbridge Wells branch, well, there's eight of us, active members. Five men and three ladies, myself, my wife Sue, Tim Otway is now a member, and we have some others from Tunbridge Wells and one from who lives in Seven Oaks. And we present and give away Bibles, all sorts of sizes and shapes and colours. They each have a different purpose. The little red one, many of you younger people and perhaps the older ones would have had one of those at school, the little what we call a youth testament. The one at the top on the right is the one we would put in a hotel. The one in the centre is the large print. The one at the bottom, the blue one, is a badge testament. We have different badges for different purposes. And the Skinner's School is one that we went to recently, and Bennett, Hilden Grange are three schools that we've been to recently to present the little red testaments. There are about 22 schools in our area. It's difficult to get into them these days, so we have to keep on trying all sorts of ways of sending emails, delivering letters with a testament and so on, trying to get access to take an assembly. But we do have other ways sometimes. I was chatting to Paul Feasey at our men's curry night a couple of years ago. He said he was chaplain at Bethany, and through that I was able to get there and take an assembly for all of the whole school. So making contact with people is very helpful. The bottom badge testament, that might be one for the scouts or the guides or the various armed forces. We put the crest on those for each type of organisation. Hospitals, we have a plastic one, it's not shown on there, we have a plastic covered one for hospitals so that they can be wiped and kept clean and so on. And then we have the one on the left hand, on the right hand, left hand side, the red coloured one, that will be one we might have in our pocket to give to someone if we come across them. And with the difficulty of getting into hotels these days, we go to hotels. There used to be one in most hotel bedside cabinets, but sadly a lot of hotels won't have them. or they say they've got them already, we can't check the rooms. But what we have done recently is get a little car that can go in every bedside cabinet with a QR code, so people can get their Bible straight onto their phone and ask at reception, and reception might give them a copy of the Bible from kept at the reception desk. There's a help section. All of our Bibles have about 30 or 40 pages at the front with different help sections for all sort of circumstances you might come across in your life if you're anxious or afraid and so on. So it's a very helpful guide for people who are not used to the Bible. Very, very helpful sections, prayer sections, daily readings and so on. Why have I got Venice? Well, if I'm giving a school talk, I might use something like that, an eyewitness guide, and explain to the young people, because we're not allowed to preach to them, but we might say, look, you know, on holiday you need a guidebook, an eyewitness guide, and this is an eyewitness guide written by people who saw the events that happened and written about them, and it's a guidebook to your life. So that's what we would perhaps have, start off a school talk. And we now have magazines as well, the Hope magazine, which has the Gospel of John at the back. I've left plenty of copies outside. If anyone wants to take one, please do read it, but do pass it on. Give it to someone who you might think might like it and so on. Explore magazine, we have those as well. And we go to all these different sorts of places, hospitals, sports places. Police, a couple of years ago, Kent Police wanted Bibles, so we produced hundreds of copies of the crested Bible with their logo on the front and so on, hotels. So we go to all these different sorts of places. Recently, we had a phone call from Carity Wood, the outdoor centre up north of Tunbridge. They've got residential places there. They wanted 50 Testaments and Hope magazines to go in their rooms. Last year, I presented our new MP, Mike Martin, with a Bible outside the town hall. So we like to give presentations to MPs and public officials and so on. Thank you for many of you who are supporters. We call them our friends of the branch. And we're very, very thankful to you for your prayer support, financial support. We send out a newsletter twice a year about what we're doing, and a magazine. We like to go to churches occasionally as well and tell about our work. We don't really very often know what happens when we've left a Bible or presented with to someone, but we pray that the Lord will work through it. Occasionally, we get some wonderful testimonies of people who've had a little red Bible or found a Bible in the hotel bedroom or whatever, and their lives have been changed just by picking up and reading a Bible. Sometimes it's been one that's been a child from school, thrown by the wayside, and I've heard stories of someone picking it up and coming to know the Lord through just finding that what you might think was a coincidence, but it was a God incidence, wasn't it? God had placed it there in the verge for someone to pick up. So there are copies of these various magazines and Bibles. Young people, there's a lot of you upstairs. I don't know whether you had one at school, but if you didn't, please take one. Adults the same. If you know of someone who you think might like a Bible or a magazine, take one and do pass it on to them. So thanks very much indeed for listening. It's been very nice to be able to tell you all about our work. Be around afterwards if you want to have another word about anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Well, I was at work yesterday. It was quite busy. There was a big queue and a gentleman said, can I give this to you? And he offered me a Bible and I went, oh no, don't waste your money. Give it to someone who needs it. I thought, how many times will he have been told that? I said, oh no, I'm really sorry. I know Peter. I'll go to Forestfold. And ended up with a longer conversation saying, just thank you very much. That's good. Let's turn to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would help us as we pray to you. We pray your Holy Spirit would be guiding us. We pray that he would be directing us. We pray that he would be linking us to you in heaven above. We come before you and acknowledge that without you, we can do nothing. We come before and acknowledge that you took the first steps. You took the initiative. you come up with the way that when we had turned our back on you, when we had wrested that crown of control away from you and put it on our own heads, Lord, you come up with the rescue plan, that we could have peace together, that the relationship could be restored through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for him. We thank you for his willingness to act as our go-between. His willingness as he sits in heaven above, having died on the cross, having taken the punishment that we deserve, having faced your anger for all those who would look to him, trusting and believing that when they die, they would have peace. They would go to heaven. But you are there now, interceding for us, acting as our go-between, and we thank you for that. We pray that as your Holy Spirit lives in the lives of all those who put their trust in you, that we would be listening to him, that as he guides and directs us, help us to listen. We pray for any who do not know you as their Saviour, that they would come to know you. We pray that you would speak to them. We pray that your Holy Spirit would stir them, convict them of their sin, and draw them to you, the Saviour. We pray for those works that people endeavour to do to, as they serve you, to spread your word, to reach out to those who do not know you. Whether that's through First Tuesdays, whether that's through First Steps, whether that's youth work here with Thrive or Rooted, the young people's work. Whether that be on the Yars weekend, or whether that be in the prisons, whether that be with the good news for everyone. Whether that be conversations that we're having with our neighbours. Whether that be conversations that we're having at work. Whether that be teaching that we're doing at home with our children. Lord, as we seek to spread the good news, as we seek for the world round about us to come to understand that their Creator is reaching out to them in love through his Son, the Lord Jesus, we ask that there would be a softening of hearts, that there would be an opening of ears. We pray that blind eyes would see, that they would come to see the good news of salvation. Lord, we come to you and acknowledge that we can't change any single heart. Lord, it's down to your power. It's down to your Holy Spirit. It's all your work. And we pray that you would be working in the locality of Crowborough. So we pray that you would bless Peter and those who go out for the good news for everyone into the schools, as the Bibles get placed in hotels, as they go into prisons, with the armed forces and the badge movements, in hospitals, that you would be reaching out and there would be people that you want to draw into your kingdom. Lord, we commit to you the work in the prisons. We pray that you would bless that work. We pray that as those men who have time to think, who have every vestige of decency perhaps taken away from them, they're at the low point, they would come to realise that there is hope through you. We pray for Christianity Explore course that is happening at the moment, that you would be with us in Lewis as we meet on Tuesday. And we pray the men would come, we pray the men would listen, and we pray that you would be working in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, you are a sovereign God and you know the ins and outs of all of our lives. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as individuals. Lord, we pray that you would help us to come to you in our own quiet times, our own prayer times, to bring those things to you that concern us, those things that challenge us, those things that trouble us, whatever they may be, knowing you're a God who understands. And Lord, where things are going well, we pray that we would have thankful hearts, that we would want to praise you for your goodness to us. And may we be kept from thinking that it's anything to do with us. We commit to you our government and we pray that you would be with them. We pray, as you've put them in power, that you would influence them with your wisdom. Our Lord, we pray that we as a country would turn back to you. Lord God, we ask that you would work mightily, we pray. We want to give you thanks as we think wider afield. Thank you for the baptisms in Cyprus and we pray for the church there in Lefkosia. Pray that you would continue to be with James and Rachel and those who lead it. And we ask that you would continue to bring glory to your name as you draw men and women, boys and girls, into the kingdom of God. Lord, we ask that you would be with John. We pray that you would uphold him. We pray that you would be with him as he brings your word to us for the second time today. We pray you'd give him a clear mind. Lord, we pray that as we hear him speak, we would realise that it is you who are speaking to us and not John. We pray that as we listen to what you have to say to each and every one of us, may we go away and remember what you've told us and see how you want our lives to be changed by what you've said to us tonight. And we pray all this for your honour and for your glory. Amen. Well, before John comes up and speaks to us, we're going to sing our third song, which is My Song is Love Unknown. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Stones may not be your favourite topic. They're a nuisance in the flower beds for you, perhaps. They're a disappointment when you get to the beach and you're hoping for sand. They're a clearing up job when there has been heavy rain. But stones come to life as a picture in the passage that we have this evening as we carry on in 1 Peter. In the next few verses, we have the stone, we have the stones, and we have the stumblers. Notice all three of them, the stone, the stones, and the stumblers. As I read the passage through again, follow it with me if you've got your Bibles open or your app open. 1 Peter 2:4-8 is our section. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honour is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." Well, what are each of these three? What do we find out about them in this passage? And why are they talked about? What is Peter and the Lord, through Peter, aiming to do in us as we consider these verses this evening? Well, let's take them one by one. The stone. The stone. So that is the preeminent and the main stone here in our passage. It's in most of the verses as we followed through. And what we have about it here is aimed to make us value Jesus. It's aimed to make us value Jesus. We're told here that he is a living stone. A living stone. So for us, stones are pretty static things. They don't move. They're dead. One of the associations we have with stones is graves, and there are plenty of gravestones around us here. But Jesus is described as a living stone. A living stone. He's raised from the dead. He is alive. You remember the words of the angels on the resurrection morning? "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Jesus is the living stone. He is also, in this passage, the cornerstone. The cornerstone. He is the most significant stone in the entire building. Everything derives from it. It is the reference point for the whole thing. It sets the angles, it sets the height, it sets the layout. And you need just the right stone to be the cornerstone, which goes sort of at the corner, at the base, and from it all the other walls are sort of fanning out and supported. It is the main stone. It is the cornerstone. And Jesus is the cornerstone. There are three Old Testament quotes in our passage. If your Bible puts them indented, then you've got that as a giveaway. And Isaiah says that this cornerstone would come. He's quoted in verse 6. "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" The Psalms, the songs of the Bible, said this cornerstone was coming. One of them is quoted in verse 7. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Jesus is the foundation stone, if you like, for the whole church. In fact, he is the keystone for the whole of God's plan of history. There is nobody more important than Jesus. There is nobody more central than Jesus. There's nobody more significant to history than Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is a precious stone. Now, we might not see building stones as particularly precious, just mere bricks to us. We do see other stones, don't we, as precious? Why is there sort of partial mourning in France at the minute. Well, it's because some of their crown jewels have gone missing and probably split up and sold off and so forth. They're precious stones. And Jesus, we're told here, is a precious stone. This stone, this cornerstone, this central stone, this stone that you really can't face life without, this stone is precious. Verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Isaiah says he will be precious. Verse 6 again, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Is Jesus valuable to you? Is Jesus valuable to you? Is he worth much to you? Is he worth much? One of the parables compares him to the most expensive pearl, most expensive pearl ever, the pearl of great price. His worth is off the scale. Paul talked about the, I love this phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Some of you perhaps know the older hymn, I need thee precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. Jesus is a precious stone. And he's valuable in our living relationship with him now. Our section starts, as you come to him, or coming to him. There is a living relationship between these people, between us Christians and the Lord Jesus. And we come to him, we draw near to him. He's valuable to us now. We sang that wonderful song, All I Once Held Dear. It's based on Philippians 3. See how valuable Jesus was to Paul when he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So he knew he had a righteousness with God. He knew he was okay with God. He was right with God because of Jesus Christ. And so he was so valuable to him. And he loved knowing Jesus. It's valuable because of the future. Because believers will not face final disappointment. And believers will not face final embarrassment. Isn't that a lovely thought? Believers will not face final embarrassment because of Jesus. Whoever believes in him, verse 6, we're told, will not be put to shame. So, Jesus is the stone that really matters. He is the living stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the precious stone. Do you value Jesus? I hope by the end of this evening you realise that you are missing out if you don't value Jesus. The living stone, the cornerstone, the precious stone. But he's not the only stone that's mentioned here. Hopefully you noticed it when we read through, especially when we read it through a second time. And you have these stones. The stones, plural. Peter says to the Christians he is writing to, you are stones as well. In fact, you are living stones. Verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It is amazing that the description used of Jesus, the living stone, should be used of Christians, believers, living stones. That's how we're described. Alive, lively. Have you thought of yourself as a living stone? A stone that God has brought to life spiritually. It's occasionally a surname. I'd never really thought about it before. Maybe you have. I hadn't before preparing for this. You know, some people are called Livingstone. We think of the famous missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. So it was literally his name, Livingstone. Well, in a way, you can almost say it's your name. Imagine it's your surname. Perhaps you prefer it. I'm not too keen on Cowley. It's a bit of a funny surname, isn't it, really? Livingstone might be better. Whatever your surname is, whether you're pleased with it or not, if you're a Christian, if you're trusting in Christ, you are a living stone brought to life by the work of the Holy Spirit, precious to God. And as we think about this theme in these verses, there's some take home. So the take home for the first point was value Jesus. The take home for this second point, it's a bit longer, a bit fuller, live together privileged and pleasing God. Live together privileged and pleasing God. We're not just random stones littered about the place. We are connected. We are part of a building in this picture, a spiritual building. You yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house. The language is of the temple. In the New Testament, the temple isn't really about a building in Jerusalem. It's about a spiritual building of believers that God has put together. That's why I quite like that picture. I go through a range of pictures trying to pick what's going to be quite good for the sort of right-hand side. And there you've got them all fitting together, connected. Well, God is fitting together stones, people, into his building. We read about it in Ephesians 2. Let me read that again. You'll see the picture, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, random stones across the field. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We've heard about that already. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 puts it very plainly. You are God's temple. 2 Corinthians 6 puts it like this. For we are the temple of the living God. Have a sense of privilege to be part of this? If you've put your trust in Christ, you're part of this. It's to be part of the temple. I mean, if stones had minds, they would want to be part of the temple. That was the best place for a stone to be. That was the most honourable place for a stone to be. Like working at Buckingham Palace. One of our girls had a friend, and when she graduated, she went to work at Buckingham Palace. Remember one of these royal scenes we saw, and there she was. I think she was opening a door for the Queen to go into something. And fancy working at Buckingham Palace. What a privilege. And here, if you're a Christian, you're part of God's special building, his temple. And we're alive together as group of believers, as part of his spiritual temple. It's a privileged place for you and I to be. Well, what are we up to? Well, the image goes a bit further. We're like priests. We're offering sacrifices. Our lives together are about pleasing God. He carries on. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In what way are we offering sacrifices pleasing to God? In what way are we about pleasing Him? Well, in our singing. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. When we praise, we offer sacrifice pleasing to God. You may not be the most tuneful singer in the pack. Your breath may not be spearmint clean, but to God, when it's sung from a heart which loves Him, it is a pleasing fragrant going up, and so it has together. It's a sacrifice honouring to the Lord together. In our sharing, it carries on, verse 16, Hebrews 13, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You may not share much, you may not have much to give, but you do share with others, and you do provide, and you do put to certain collections, and you do it with a good heart, and we do as a group of people try and do that, and it is pleasing to God. It is a fragrant acceptable to Him, this path of what we're about as a group of living stones. In fact, the whole of our lives are about sacrifice. Perhaps you know where I'm going. Romans 12, verse 1. What a key verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So your body, your life, you may not feel it's the most impressive body going, but you offer it to the Lord. You want to live for Him, and you live for Him with others. And you do it because of His mercy, because He's loved you so much and you love Him so much. And so together, hopefully, we serve in a spirit of love to God and we give our lives in sacrifice to Him. Isn't this a lovely picture? Living stones, privileged to be together, aiming to please God. You're not alone. You're not a lone brick. You know, you think of Welsh hills, and often there's a stone here, a stone there, and on the dales in the Peak District. But there's also the walls that go round the edge of the field. You're part of a wall. You're not a lone brick. God has brought you into His people. You're not alone and you're not without purpose. We're about something together. We've got an aim. We've got a desire. And it's not just to do each other good, though that's part of it. We have an outward focus. We're looking to please God in our life together as a living stone, as part of the temple. So you have the stone and you have the stones, but you also have the stumblers here. Not everyone loves Jesus. He's not precious to everyone. You get both in this passage. You probably noticed it as we read through. There are those that reject. Verse 4, rejected by men. Verse 7, the stone that the builders rejected. Not everyone looks at Jesus and says, there is the cornerstone, if ever I've seen one. That has to be the central building block of my life. Not everyone views him that way. You imagine the temple workers, I think this is part of the picture. You imagine the temple workers and they're looking around the quarry for the stone for the building, stones for the building. And there's one big stone and some people are interested and think it might be a good candidate for a significant stone in the building. But others just laugh and they say, look at that silly stone. There's no way we're going to use that. It's hopeless. It's no use. It won't work. Maybe they even, if it's a big stone, it's a bit difficult to kick it much, but imagine it's on the end of a slope or something, and they just give it a sort of discarding kick to roll down the side. What rubbish! That one's no good. People like that with Jesus. Verse 7, they don't believe the stone that the builders rejected, discarded. In verse 8, the picture moves on, changes a little bit as we get our third Old Testament quote from Isaiah. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. So it's not just rejected, it's a nuisance, it's a tripped over. You imagine that they've sort of said, no, that's rubbish, and they've sort of talked together and then they step backwards and they're over it. It harms them, if you like. It gets in their way. They stand up and shout even more against it. It's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. Why is that? Is it because the stone is no good? That's because of their hearts. End of verse 8. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Jesus quotes some of these things about himself. At the end of a parable in Matthew 21, he says this, verse 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvellous in our eyes. So they'd rejected it. Rubbish! And it became the main stone in God's plan. So there are stumblers, and maybe you are one. Maybe you're a stumbler. Many of us were. Many of us rejected Jesus. Many of us thought he was a nuisance. Many of us didn't want him as part of our life. He didn't fit the way in which we wanted to go forward in our lives. But there's been a change. And no longer do we discard him, but we see him as valuable and the cornerstone. And that's what you need to do if you're a stumbler, a rejecter. You need to come to become one of these ones who believes and values and realizes the worth of Jesus and all that he did on the cross and through rising again and your personal need of him. You need to come in faith and put your trust in him. You need to confess your sin before him, make him as Savior and Lord. But he's not writing to stumblers. So why is he talking about stumblers as he writes to these Christians? Well, I think his take home here is this. Don't deviate under pressure. Perhaps, Christian, you are under opposition. You're under pressure. Perhaps people are taking the mick. I don't know if that's a phrase these days, but it used to be taking the mick over you, taking the mick out of you because of your faith. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe the thought process of a Christian world are sort of doing your head in. as you hear more and think through it and get influenced by it. Perhaps people are urging you to just give up your hang-ups about God and just start living in a way which satisfies your urges, whatever they are. And Peter's letter helps show that up. Helps us to stop going that way. It says, don't copy the stumblers. Jesus might be rejected by them, but to God, in the sight of God, he is chosen and precious. You might be dishonored by them, but remember, those who believe in him will never be put to shame. You won't be the one who's embarrassed at the end of the day. He says God is in overall control. He predicts there's going to be these opposers. So you've got three Old Testament predictions all sort of crammed into this passage. It's expected. He even says that they were destined to do this at the end of verse 8. God's overall sovereign control is over all that is happening. Don't deviate under pressure. Don't lose your nerve. Are you tempted to lose your nerve in trusting in Christ? Don't lose your nerve. Don't deviate. Don't copy the stumblers, is his message. Prize Jesus. Don't push him away. Treat Jesus as a valuable stone. In 2018, a man in Michigan was using a rock that he'd found in his farm field as a doorstop. And he'd been doing so for 30 years. He then had it analysed. And the 22-pound object turned out to be a meteorite. The scientists who analysed it determined it was the sixth largest meteorite ever found in the state of Michigan, and it contained rare metals and compounds that made it exceptionally valuable to collectors and researchers. It was worth approximately $100,000. Treat Jesus as a valuable stone, not as a doorstop. Realise his value. Don't treat him lightly. Don't throw away what is valuable. In 2015, a woman dropped off several boxes of electronics at a recycling centre in California. She was cleaning out her garage after her husband's death. And among them was an original Apple I computer from 1976, one of about 200 made. The recycling centre sold the computer for $200,000 and tried to find the woman so that they could split the proceeds. That was pretty reasonable for them, wasn't it? But she never came forward. Now, don't say that to make you neurotic about what you're turning out of your garage and out of your loft. But in other ways, it's possible to treat something as rubbish, which is so, so valuable. And some people do that with Jesus. It's nothing. Down to the dump with him. Discard him. Reject him. Life's better without him. He's the cornerstone. He's the living stone. He's so precious. You can't do without him now. You certainly can't do without him in the future. Verse 5. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. Verse 6, a chief cornerstone, chosen and precious. So, a little passage packed with stones makes us value Jesus, makes us live together privileged and pleasing to God, and make sure that we don't deviate under pressure. Well, let's just have a moment to pick out one of the things that's been helpful to us and turn it into a quiet personal prayer before we sing our closing song. Well, we're going to sing together our closing song. I know we've had it a little bit recently, but it just seemed so relevant to be picking the one which has got the cornerstone in the chorus. Can we go to the chorus? If we go to the next slide, I think it's in the next one, is it? Either the next one or the one after. Yes, thank you, that's it. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. It makes us value Jesus. Shall we stand to sing our last song? Have turned so many of us who were stumblers and rejecters into those who trusted in Jesus and found him precious. We pray, Lord, as we've thought through these things this evening, that Jesus will be felt and thought of as increasingly valuable to all of us, and that we may delight in uniting together as living stones, his building, in seeking to do things which are pleasing to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.